some of the more crazy things that have gone on in recent culture war conversations. Think about this. The FDA issued a warning just over a month ago on the 1st of July that puberty blockers are dangerous, very dangerous, alerting doctors to the serious risk of GnRH drugs that can be the cause of brain swelling, loss of vision, other very serious disorders. And they're being given to children in this country as they transition, right? Young children, this is child abuse. I don't care what you call it. It's child abuse. And then, of course, radical disfiguring surgeries thrown on top of it. And Rachel Levine from the Department of Health and Human Services, a man who identifies as a woman, is asserting that gender-affirming care is medically necessary and safe. It's not safe, according to the people at the FDA, period. It's not safe. That's the way that is, and to say otherwise is patently dishonest. Join me now, Dr. Edward Bartlett, chairman of Stop Abusive and Violent Environments, about the radical changes to Title IX and the threats to real women in this country. Doctor, good to have you here.
Hey, good morning. How you doing?
I'm good. What did I miss there with Rachel Levine?
Well, you were actually probably a little bit too nice to Rachel. First of all, I'll mention that I used to work in the Department of Health and Human Services, so I'm speaking partly from a firsthand account of having worked 17 years at DHHS. I've never met Rachel Levine personally, but anyway, I do bring that perspective. So you were, in a sense, too nice, because it's not only Rachel not only claimed that this drug, and by the way, let's explain what a puberty blocker is, because not everybody knows. So this is for kids, sometimes quite young kids, who have decided somehow they are really a female in a male body, or a male in a female body.
Right.
And so they decide to do what's called a transition. And so when that person is 9 or 10 years old, the idea is, oh, well, we want to block development of secondary sex characteristics, such as we don't want to have breasts developing. We don't want a beard to develop. So anyway, it's designed to block the development of these secondary sex characteristics. So that's what a puberty blocker is.
Right.
And as you just said, the GnRH is the technical name of the drug that's used as a puberty blocker. So this is, quote,
this is serious stuff. I mean, this is serious stuff, and it causes, as I talked about here, papilledema, blurred vision, loss of vision, pain behind the eyes, tinnitus, dizziness, nausea, a whole host of things. And that's just the good news in the short term, right?
Yeah, right. So anyway, so the reason that you were maybe too nice to Rachel Levine is that Rachel not only said that this drug is safe, and actually I'm going to read the quote. This is a tweet from Rachel Levine on July 19th, 18 days after this ominous FDA warning came out. Here's the quote. Gender-affirming care is medically necessary, safe, and effective for transgender and non-binary children and adolescents. So that's a full quote made 18 days after this warning came out. So
safe and effective, right, so which it's neither. It's neither safe nor effective, because the vast majority of the people that transition early, young, regret it, or if they're left to their own devices and not giving these powerful drugs, come back to the sex that they were born, right?
So, yes, all right, so let's talk about the medically necessary. So there's a vast mythology that's developed around the gender, transgender issue. So part of the mythology is the concept that is medically necessary. Well, the truth is, and this is based on many studies, the truth is that the vast majority, like 90% of all kids that have questions or doubts about their sex, that they eventually reconcile to their biological sex and they go on to live normal lives as an adult. So it's not medically necessary, at least in the vast majority of these cases.
How would it ever be medically necessary, doctor? How would you ever consider it being medically necessary at any juncture.
So I think it's fair to say that in a child, it is never medically necessary just because there is so much that is not known scientifically. Children are also more vulnerable to suggestion by peers or suggestion by counselors, high school counselors at the school they attend. So that they are vulnerable in the first place. And so I think it's fair to say that only for adults who have, you know, who are fully, you know, cognizant of their, you know, their mental capabilities, only for adults, and again, in rare situations, would this, would a transition.
Let me ask you this. I want to ask you this because I want to, it's the long-term effects. If you start somebody, you say at 8 or 10 years of age, whatever it may be, on these puberty blockers, if you will, and then at the age of 18 or 20, they say, you know what, I was wrong. What is the long-term side effect, the damage done by those drugs? If somebody says, you know, and they haven't had surgery, they've just taken the drugs, what's the long-term ramification?
Yeah, well, that's a good question, and it's a tragic question because there was actually, there's a growing number of people who call themselves detransitioners. So detransitioner means they changed their sex a few years ago, and oops, they realized that was a huge mistake. So they want to go back to their original sex. There was actually testimony just a few weeks ago in Florida from a girl who became a boy and then realized, no, that was totally wrong. But she may never have children again because there's been the surgery, obviously, does a lot to affect your body. So, yeah, we're talking about real human tragedies right now.
Yeah, real human tragedies. Permanent damage to young people that can never be corrected, doctor, and that's a huge problem. How do we, you call it mythology, but this mythology is shared in public schools, it's shared on social media, it's shared all over. How do we ever get back on track? I'll give you the last word.
Well, there actually has been a lot of good research on this. It's summarized in a very good book called When Harry Becomes Sally. It's written by a fellow named Ryan Anderson. Ironically, Amazon refuses to sell this book, so you have to get the book somewhere else. So let's start with good science, and the good science will lead to good legislation and good policy.
Yeah. Well, we've got to get that started. Doctor, greatly appreciate you being here. There's a lot to consider for people instead of just, oh, well, we're going to do this because it's what we're supposed to do. No, it's not what you're supposed to do is get tremendous amounts of counseling, figure out what's right, you know, and don't give in to the whims of a 10-year-old if they identify as one way or another. I mean, Bill Maher put it best. I identified as a pirate. I'm glad they didn't schedule me to have my eye removed and my leg replaced with a piece of wood. Anyhow, he's right. Thank you, doctor. Greatly appreciate your time. I've got to run. Up against a break here at CPAC 2022 in Dallas. I'm Steve Gruber. I'll be right back.
Michigan Chamber of Commerce.
Michigan has been through some tough times. We've seen businesses close, unemployment soar, and the economy take a heavy hit. But through these struggles, we've been given the opportunity to rethink, retool, and reimagine. It's through strength and determination, drive and focus, that we will be back, and we will bring Michigan back. We are the Michigan Chamber, and we stand ready to fight for Michigan.
To learn more about the Michigan Chamber and how to become a member, visit michamber.com.
Do you have what it takes to be an entrepreneur? Have you done your due diligence on the most important component of your new business? You. Introducing the Grind Score, a tool to help you analyze how you will impact your startup. The Grind Score is a 24-question quiz developed by co-founder and co-CEO of Bigby Coffee, Michael McFaul. Get his real-world insight and feedback on what he has seen work and not work in a startup. Go to thegrindscore.com and start your journey. That's thegrindscore.com. TheGrindScore.com.
Confessions of a Potentially Perfect Parent, brought to you by AdoptUsKids.org.
Okay, here goes. I know more about cooking dinner for a party of 12 than I do about packing a lunch for a 12-year-old.
I know kids like things like PB&J, pigs in a blanket.
Oh, and fish sticks. They do love fish sticks.
Fillets I get, but sticks? What part of the fish does the stick come from? I know I can read a cookbook that'll tell me how to make a red wine reduction, but where are the cookbooks that can teach me how to cut the crusts off bologna sandwiches? Oh, maybe we can compromise on mac and cheese. Can you make that with brie? Everybody likes brie, right?
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. There are thousands of teens in foster care who would love to push your food around their plate. Call 1-888-200-4005 or visit AdoptUsKids.org for more information. This message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt Us Kids, and the Ad Council.